Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
How to tackle delays with the divorce process in Ireland, or divorce services. That's what's being discussed by a committee. They're looking really at ways to try and deal with the tedious process, which an awful lot of people have encountered over the years. If you feel comfortable sharing your own story or experience with us, you can get in touch with us, drop us an email. Clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan is with me, though, on the line today. Stephanie, this is something that you yourself have experienced. Can you just maybe tell us a little bit about the process here in Ireland?
The process, yes, of course. And clinically experienced, just to say, not personally experienced, yes, in that sense. But Andrea, how are you? Delighted to talk about this. I just always think there's so much suffering around divorce, so much difficulty. So much fallout in terms of the children and indeed the extended family. So I've always had this very strong sense when I certainly have some personal experience in the sense of being married to someone who has been divorced and all of that. And I just believe in the good divorce. And I think we have to really look for that. We have to search for what can be done well and what can be done right. And I know it's difficult. I deal with the fallout clinically every day with people who are, you know, they're angry, they're disappointed, they feel betrayed, they feel let down. And it is really hard to process all of that and leave a marriage and deal with all the legalities and all the finances and the insecurity. And all of these emotional things get very mushed up together, and they get, I mean, lots of lawyers will tell you it's all, you know, people work their emotional kind of situation out in court. It's not the place for it. And I think our whole system really does sort of encourage that. And I think that's a real pity. I think we really have to try and get people to feel proud of doing it correctly. And as sort of supporters, family, that we look for that, that we look for people to not damn the other party. Of course, they may let you down. People, we let other people down. We let each other down. That's how life goes. But we have to separate that out from you being disappointed and grieving what you thought you had, and separating that from this marriage is over. And I think that's where we need to go.
And I suppose for a lot of people, you know, where maybe it isn't by way of mutual agreement, that's where an awful lot of that, I suppose, maybe negativity, or that's where it becomes very difficult, yeah. Stephanie.
Well, I think it's, yes, I mean, very seldom do both people want the very same thing at the same time. But I think there is a process in the deciding process, you know, in the time of realization that this marriage is ending. There are many dawning moments where a couple look to each other and realize this is not going to last. This is not going to work. And sure, there is always somebody holding on more than the other, or somebody moving to that realization point. And this is where therapy and counselling come into play. And I mean, it is part of, as I say, it's kind of the sweet spot of therapy. If you can get people to come to the table and come to that truth together and kind of recognize that, you know, this can fall apart even if we do our very best, even if both people do their very best. Now, I know, you know, another person will say, well, you know, oh, he never really tried or she never really tried. But in truth, maybe their best is not in any way near your best. But if you can come to the understanding that we've all done our best here, mm-hmm. and it's over, and maybe hating each other isn't the way forward. Maybe accepting the limitation of each other. Now, I know that's a process, and I'm not rosy here about it. As I say, I understand. I would have left a first marriage in the sense when divorce didn't come into play in that case, just because my first husband died, but it didn't come into place, but I had separated. So I do understand the process. I do understand the emotional leaving. Mm-hmm. I do understand the effort and the disappointment and how your future changes on a penny.
Yeah. Okay. Stay with me, Stephanie, for a few moments,
sure,
because journalist Liz Dwyer is with us on the line as well. Liz, you're currently experiencing this.
Yes, for 6 years now, I've been kind of going through the system, I would say. It's not even the process. Stephanie's talking about the emotional side of things and, you know, the psychological side of things. You can, you know, even if every, and you're, she's trying to say, obviously, you want people to accept it and, you know, to come to, you know, even if you're best friends and you say, this is how we're going to sort it out, you still have to go to court in Ireland. You still have to have your day in court. The judge has to hear you out, even if you both unanimously agreed this is what we're going to do, So it's not even about, like if you even remove emotions from it, which is obviously hard given the situation, it's a system. It's unbelievable. Like, they keep you, like, you're a hostage, effectively, to this. Everyone is. The wife, the husband, the kids, also the extended family, anyone who's involved. And it's unbelievably unfair. And it's just, you know, like, it's, you're being told on one hand, you know, obviously, to protect yourself and to make sure, you know, you get your, the outcome is fair to you, whether it's financially or, you know, whether there's regard to the children and whatnot. But at the same time, you're being pitted against each other. So you're at war, even if you're best friends, you know. So, and a lot of people are trying to co-parent at the same time and raise families and deal with, you know, the financial fallout of it as well. So, you know, you're really being, you're thrown under the bus in many, many ways and just being told to suck it up. And the only people winning are the legal representatives, I suppose. And, I mean, it's not even their fault. It's just the way the system is. We haven't got the justice system hasn't, you know, stepped up to the mark on this at all. We've had 4 ministers of justice in 10 years and this so-called new family court, which is supposed to have been built with, you know, better facilities and so forth, still hasn't, nothing, a single block hasn't been made. It's like the children's hospital all over again.
So, like, so you're going through this yourself for 6 years, and is there any end in sight, or do you have any idea when, I suppose you might reach the finish?
I mean, it's like, how long is a piece of string, to be honest. Like, you're in complete purgatory, and I have another court date coming up, but sure, look, you know, at this stage, it's like going to Tesco's, you know. You don't know what's happening. And like, we, by the way, there was no, you know, this wasn't, you know, this was like, you know, both parties agreeing on it, you know. So it's not a case of, like, as you see in America and all these kind of stuff. It's fairly basic, boring stuff. But the problem is the system is holding it up. The system holds things up, but also the you know, stupid things. Like, they, like, of course, come back to us saying, oh, you left a father out of your name. This kind of nonsense. Do you know what I mean? That'll be another 19 months delay, you know? So it's not. It's just, it's unbearable, really. And, like, ironic, I just did a podcast there last week on it with Laura Dowling. And I was just speaking about it, just, you know, what's happened to me. And the amount of messages I've gotten, it actually has made me feel worse and sad. Like, hundreds of messages from people all over the country saying,
similar,
you know,
experiences.
My situation was not just worse, 10 times worse. It actually made my situation look like the golden situation. Like, suicide, kids having, you know, like, awful mental trauma, people in and out of John of God's. I mean, it's unreal what it does to people's mental health, not mind, financial, everything else. And that's just the parents. Like, let's not forget the children here as well. So it's a horrible situation. It's a melting pot, you know.
So and in terms of, you know, trying to expedite the process, and I know that sounds very clinical to nearly even refer to a kind of a process, any, you know, but I suppose, just for want of a better word, but how do you think we could improve that, Liz? Because, as you mentioned,
well,
you know, this has been on the table of many ministers.
We shouldn't need to go to court. Like, in other countries, if you, both parties are in agreement, they can just go and get it signed and done in a solicitor's office. Everyone signs the paper and that's it. The end. Like, there's no waiting for courts. But also, you're clogging up district courts, you know, that don't need this either, you know. You're clogging up judges' times. If the situation is where there isn't, you know, like a solution come to by both parties, then maybe, yeah, you do have to go to court. But a lot of people have this done and they force you to do it in the courts as well. Like, and they don't even have the facilities. Like, everyone's hustling in the corridors, like, talking about each other's business, like, between cups of coffee, and everyone's overhearing it as well. So there's a physical side of things. Get that family court and a million other family courts built ASAP. And also have a whole entire system for family law that isn't the way it is. We have this in-camera rule as well in the family law courts, which means that it's obviously there to protect the children, it's there to protect the families, but it means that there is no transparency in what happens in courts. So nobody knows why case A got, the judge decided this is the outcome of case A, or that this is the outcome of case B. So there's no, you know, there's no blueprint for this. It's like Wild West as to what's going to happen when you go into court as well. So it's crazy, in fact.
Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and 4-piece McNuggets.
we're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
One of the suggestions, Liz, sorry, is that mediation has kind of been put forward as a sort of a possible or a potential suggestion to the Oireachtas Committee in trying to kind of tackle delays within the divorce system. Do you think that would help?
No, because as I said, you've best found this out, you've walked out of your mediation, you both know exactly what's happening, you still have to go to court. So you're still waiting. You're still in the queue. You're still in the queue for the district court. You're still in the queue for your motion for your court date. Then you have another court date to actually decide it. And that's only, like, a lot of these, many people who text me, WhatsApp me saying, you know, I got my court date. I flew home from X, Y, and Z. I had 10 court dates. I showed up and then it was like 4 PM and the judge closed the courts and they, you know, had to come back to Ireland 6 months later, or the other party doesn't show up or whatnot. So pushing it all through court is ridiculous, basically. That's the big bottleneck, number one. So we need to take that step away, if possible, like other countries do, you know. And we just need more resources. There isn't enough legal aid. I mean, it's the same for everyone. The Law Association of Ireland, have been very open about this thing. We do not have enough bodies for family court at the moment. And they said they're so overwhelmed as well with immigration cases, that they just don't have the manpower to be dealing with family court on top of it. Yeah.
Liz, thank you for sharing your experience with us today. 1800 453 106 is the number. Susan is with me on the line. Susan, I believe you've just recently gone through this.
Yes, hi Andrea.
How are you?
Nice to talk to you.
You too.
I'm very good. How are you?
Not bad. So
good,
tell
good,
me
good.
A little bit about your scenario.
Yes, my scenario. So I'll try and tell you in a nutshell, even though I'm known for being a bit of a chatterbox. So I came to Rome many, many years ago and I met a lovely Roman man and I married him and I was with him for 28 years, two lovely grown-up sons. Then after 28 years, we separated because he decided to fall in love with one of his colleagues. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. It was a little bit traumatic, got through it. And then we went to do a separation 4 years ago. And you have to wait 6 months in order to get a divorce in this country. So once 6 months had passed, we could go straight for the divorce. But both of us obviously got on with our lives and forgot about it. So this January, I was thinking about New Year's resolutions and what I wanted to do. And I said, like to turn over the page and start a new chapter in my life and, you know, just put a, let's say, just put it behind me. So I got in touch with my husband. I am friends with him, so we talk regularly. And we just had to get a form. We filled it out. We went to a public office. It's not a court. And we signed the form, gave it to the public official. And she asked us a few questions. And then she said that we could come back in a month and it would all be done and dusted. We paid €16. And they gave us 16 euros. So they asked us, they said that by law, they can't sign off on it straight away. They have to give us a month just in case we change our minds. So we went off laughing because we're not likely to change our minds. You know, he's living with someone else. And thankfully, I have met another new lovely Irish partner, actually, I have to say. So there's no courts involved, no solicitors. And it just seemed to work really well. So it was kind of easy peasy.
So all in, it was what?
A month
in total. My God. And like you're listening to Liz's story there and she's talking about 6 years. I mean, it's so hard to believe the comparison, isn't it?
I was listening. And I have a friend also in Dublin. And she was telling me what she had to do in order to get through the whole situation in Dublin. It's pretty crazy. But they could easily lighten the load if they were to, you know, give it over to a public office. The office here in Italian, it's the Comune di Roma, and it's like the county council, but it's actually also where you go to register births, deaths and marriages. And we were actually very lucky because it wasn't the main Roman office. It was a little bit outside of Rome because when we first married, we lived slightly outside of the city. So it was so quick, so easy and so actually pleasant is the word I was going to use. But we were both when you've got grown up children, you don't have to worry about the children and, you know, who's giving what to who. So it was easy also from that point of view. They were the questions they asked us.
Yeah, the distribution of assets or that. Yeah,
exactly. No, assets, no, because that was already done because there's a very different system here in as far as assets are concerned, because most people, when they get married, if they think they're going to buy a second property, they get what's called a separazione dei beni, which actually means you're separating your assets, but you're not separating your marriage. And most people do that, and it's for tax reasons, because then the house that I buy as a second house becomes my first home, and my husband has the first home. So obviously having a second home, tax implications are quite different. So most people do It's a kind of a thing.
One
so
month
the property was separated.
16 euro is just is pretty unbelievable. A lot of our listeners, I mean, you must find it, you know, just incredible to listen to the stories here in Ireland then, Susan.
Unbelievable. Well, now, the Italians are very good at their bureaucracy, as you probably know, because they have a terrible reputation for being super bureaucratic in every way. But this, they have definitely pared it down to the very necessary things. And so many couples are, you know, they're separated consensually, so they don't actually need to fight about it. We didn't fight. We went along, signed the form, and had a cup of coffee together, and off we went.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. I was listening to Stephanie Regan.
Yes.
Talking about therapy, and I can only agree with her. That is so important. And I think people that go through such a trauma, depending on how traumatic it is, but I think it's traumatic for everybody, no matter what they go through. But therapy is vital. It's so important. And what really got me through it was my amazing network of girlfriends, both in Rome and Dublin, because I'm lucky enough to go to Dublin very often, and I've kept up all my girlfriends in Dublin from school and from childhood, and we see each other whenever I'm back, and I'm so grateful to them, because, you know, they stuck by me. And, you know, there is still a certain amount of stigma, I notice, more in Ireland than in Italy, actually.
That's interesting.
For people being separated and divorced. But listen, my girlfriends, none of them ever treated me with anything less
than
love and
affection. Well, that's great to hear. Yeah. It's lovely to hear that they were a good support network. And Susan, thank you for sharing your own experience with us. This texter says, I'm actually going through the system trying to get a divorce at the moment, and I am so since 2023. We've been through two failed mediation sessions and now just communicating through solicitors. My ex-wife won't communicate through the solicitors, and I'm just increasing my bill with my solicitor. Claire Akmuddy, who's a relationship and divorce coach, is with me here on Lunchtime Live as well. Claire, you probably deal with this on a frequent basis. You there, Claire? You can hear me okay?
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Yes, I do. Yes, can you hear me?
I can indeed. So you're probably dealing
with
people. Yes, we can, Claire. We can hear you perfectly.
Yes, great.
So you're probably dealing with people, I take it, that are coming to you for support or advice when they're going through the divorce process. Have we got Claire? No, we seem to have lost Claire.
Yes, and a lot of I live in the north of Ireland.
Do you know, we'll try to reconnect with Claire. Just maybe on a final point, Stephanie Regan, I mean, you might want to pick up on Susan's last mention there around the support that she got from counselling services.
Yes, and especially what Liz said, I have to say, I think, you know, what I'd like to really kind of agree with her on is this whole, the kind of constant, you know, how would you say, intensifying of the trauma that goes on with delays after delays. This is a huge problem in our court system and in our divorce system. It has to be easier. It has to be more simple. As Susie said there, you don't have to argue about it all. If you've come to the point that it's over, it's over. And if you do the work beforehand, you know, as best you can, you do come to that point where it's let go time. And if you can have a system then that, you know, really kind of feeds into that, helps people to do it more simply. And I think there's a lot of cultural hangover there for us all, you know, the religious hangover. I know people maybe don't like that term, but it's, you know, it's a kind of that lagging effect of blame and shame and stigma that is still around divorce in some areas and in some sort of, you know, kind of ages of life. And I think people do, and sometimes I'm really, really shocked by it, that people would ever look down on somebody else because their marriage didn't work. But I do meet it, and I think we have to be honest about that.
It's
there, and it really doesn't help people. And also, if I may say, Andrea, and expecting the children, there is this thing that, first of all, people who separate, one of the big problems they carry and kind of worries they carry is how it's going to affect the children. The single thing that affects children is the conflict and the constant conflict. So, and the conflict is, you know, in many ways continues throughout this whole period, because the poor mom or the poor dad or whoever, both of them, they're still trying to deal with this kind of situation and never moving into stability.
We're asking today how to tackle the issue of delays in the divorce process. If you want to share your own story with us, email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. This texter says, divorce mediation, as distinct from therapy and counselling, provides a valuable space for separating couples. Solicitors are required by law to point out to clients that this is available, but it's often dismissed as being wishy-washy. It's a legal process and it's typically cheaper, faster, less stressful than litigation, gives both parties an opportunity to ensure their interests are met, and most importantly, the couple themselves decide the outcome for the property and the children, not the courts, says this texter. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Unfortunately, we couldn't connect there with Claire Akmutty. We will again though. Liz Dwyer, Stephanie Regan and Susan, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.